Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Courtney Cronin back at it again. Nick Chubb could be on the Chicago Bears radar. Is that somebody that the Bears are looking to bring in? And then we got to look at the Bears draft strategy here. Does it signal confidence in the current roster? And where do some of the new pieces fit in? All that and more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a five-star view. Y'all know what to do. Courtney, how are you?
Good. It's nice that we have things to talk about with rookie minicamp on the horizon, how this roster is going to start to take shape soon. Curious to see what the UDFAs look like. I don't think we are, you know, close to finding that out just yet, like the entire group that they're bringing in for rookie minicamp and some of the tryout guys too. But it is a new day when it's late April and you can already start thinking about like how these guys are going to fit in the roster. And we're talking about training camp battles already. So it's different than it was a week ago, which is a good thing.
Yeah. When we were on mock number 695 and just
glad that those are done for now,
ready for it all to be over. That's usually about the last 2 weeks of mocks when it's like, hey, so what if Shamar Turner goes first overall? It's like, all right, that's enough. Let's all calm down now. One thing I do want to start off with, though, and it does kind of relate to the draft with what we saw from Ryan Poles and how they kind of attacked the running back position here. We got this yesterday from Ken Carmen from 92.3 The Fan, where he had a quote basically saying, are we ready to say goodbye to Nick Chubb? I hear he is kind of getting close to another team, and it happens to be in the NFC North. This is incredibly interesting, Courtney, because when you look at the three teams outside of the Chicago Bears in the NFC North, Packers have Josh Jacobs and Marshawn Lloyd. I would assume you want to give Marshawn Lloyd his shot as a third round pick. Vikings have Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason.
And Cam Akers.
And the Lions have Monty and Gibbs. Is there another team in the NFC North that even looks like it needs a running back?
No, obviously. And this is somebody who I believe is based in Cleveland. Yes. You know, probably clued into what the Browns may or may not be thinking. But this is a read between the lines sort of thing. They drafted Quinshon Judkins. They went back on day three and got Dylan Sampson in the fourth round. They're moving on from Nick Chubb. Like, there's no other way around it, considering Chubb's been limited to 10 games in the last 2 years. He had the foot injury last year, devastating knee injury the year before that, and he, like, came back from it. He's 29 years old, so, you know, he's a free agent. There's a reason he's still sitting out there, and the draft plans in Cleveland show that they've found what their succession plan's going to be. Now, if you're the Bears and you came away from the draft thinking, we need more competition at the running back spot, he might be an intriguing option. I'd want to know how healthy he is if I'm Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson and Eric Bieniemy. Obviously, he's been posting some videos. He looks like he's lifting a ton, which is, I guess, a good sign.
The chat said, I believe, that 650 pounds.
I saw, like,
six plates on both sides.
The plates. And I was like, oh, my God, that looks dangerous. But obviously, he's, you know, clearly, I think he was back in Georgia doing that. And, you know, it's interesting because, like, had Thomas Brown still been around and Nick Chubb was, you know, in the mix here, it would have made a ton of sense. Like, he coached him at Georgia. Like, he's got that long tie to him. But, like, I'm trying to figure out now, you know, how would Ben Johnson view a running back that age with that much wear and tear? And what is the price? I don't think it would be very high. So it would, like, if you're thinking we need more competition, what we have right now is good, but not completely optimal to what you want to run, then it might not hurt to bring in somebody for camp and see if he sticks, see how this pushes DeAndre Swift, and what type of roles the two of them could potentially carve out for each other. Because, you know, even when he came back last year, you know, he still got 102 rushing attempts last year, coming off of the knee injury and then was limited to 8 games. I think it was the Kansas City game where he hurt his foot.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's shown that, like, you know, it's in 8 games, 10 carry, it's 102 carries. It's not a bad amount, like, on a per game basis to show you he can still be a workhorse sort of back. So if you take a flyer on the guy, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to complete your running back room if you don't feel like you came away enough from the draft with the guys that you have. And they only drafted one running back. It just happened to come in the 7th round.
The only question mark I have on it, listen, if you sign them to a vet minimum deal or you sign them to a league minimum deal, I'm not going to be flipping tables about it. It is what it is, right? It's money to take a flyer on a guy. It's probably going to be a one-year deal anyway, so I wouldn't be upset by it. But the question that I would have is it not more worth it? And have we not seen this play out in the league over the last couple of years? To give Kyle Manungai the shot to see if he can be somebody who sticks on this roster, to try out Ian Wheeler, to go with one of the undrafted free agents that are going to be brought in here, right? Because I think if you look at what San Francisco did, and if you feel like you've attacked the offensive line enough and addressed it enough, they brought in the fifth round, the sixth round guys. They brought in so many running backs. Jordan Mason had to leave because he's like, well, I don't think I'm the guy here anymore. I think I need to go over here to Minnesota and try and make my name over here now. Like, there's so many teams that have the running back by committee approach or have brought in the fifth round, sixth round pick, right? And it just works time and time again. Is it not more worth it to try that out than to go out there and try and revive the career of a running back that has been broken down the last couple of seasons?
Sure. I don't think it precludes them from doing that. I just want to be clear about that. I think it's about having numbers. I can't remember where, but Ben Johnson had talked about, you know, having, I think it was like 6-7 guys he talked about at the running back position and having that for like your 90-man roster. You need to have options. And that's not to say that Kyle Manungai or Ian Wheeler or even Roschon Johnson, like, I know we forget that he's still on the roster sometimes, but I think it's because the Bears didn't get that great of an evaluation on him last year that maybe in the mind of some, not necessarily in the organization, but as we like talk about what this roster could look like, some wrote him off.
Yeah,
this could be a great opportunity for him to get right in an offense that's going to give him a clear cut role. And that Ryan Poles can, you know, feel confident. Hey, I drafted that guy in the fourth round a couple of years ago. He's lived up to his billing because he's got a coach who can put him in the right spot. So I don't think that if they do go and sign Nick Chubb and if he ends up being a part of this roster for the offseason, if he makes a 53, whatever, that means that all the other guys that they have, draft picks and undrafted free agents, won't have the ability to carve out a role for themselves here. If you're just looking at it right now, no, it doesn't look like it's going to be the Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery fit that Ben Johnson had in Detroit, because they didn't get the high end draft pick running back that they wanted. The cost was too much. It was cost prohibitive to move up to go get Ashton Jeanty. We know that. Second round, you know, they're trying. You know, when the backs start coming off the board, we talk about Cleveland, the team that Nick Chubb's coming from.
Yep.
You know, Cleveland's the one who sparked the run that started in the second round when they went and got Quinshon Judkins, and then Travion Henderson goes two picks later, and the Bears are sitting there at 39 after attempting to move up. They can't. They stick to their board, which you can't fault them for, and they got a really good player in Luther Burden. I think the biggest, like, damn, like, that sucks for us sort of feeling that they probably felt was the fourth round. Like,
yeah.
You start to see, I think it's Tutten, the guy go off the board to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then Cam Scataboo, and then they move back. The one qualm I would have would be Dylan Sampson was still out there. Is he a great pass-blocking back? No. I think with some of the stuff, some of the, his blitz protection issues that have been, you know, documented, like, that's, you know, maybe you feel better about the guy that you got in the seventh round because he can be pretty devastating in pass protection.
Yeah.
Remember last year, Jeff Saturday does the give out the pancake block thing.
Yeah.
What's it called? Whatever the segment is, like the big when they throw out the pancakes, like it's just like the devastating sort of blows that offensive players like lay on other, you know, offensive linemen, whatever, because he's former offensive lineman. I digress. I remember, like, looking some stuff up to find out about who Kyle Manungai is, that was one that I saw. And I was like, okay, this guy's clearly good at being able to protect the quarterback and know his role in third down situations, whatever it is. Maybe they didn't feel that somebody else was there in the fourth round who could do that, but I think the board got away from them at that position on day three, and that's the one that you can probably feel like they're kicking themselves about today, you know, and moving forward into rookie minicamp. But it doesn't mean the guys that they have right now can't find some fit for them on the roster in the backfield. And if you need to bring in some veteran options from the outside, you do it and you don't think twice about it, because the straight free agents right now aren't going to cost you that much. They're just not. There's not that many like big names that are still out there.
Yeah, and listen, I think that, you know, when I look at the draft and I look at how Ryan Poles handled it, I think he traded too far back just about every time. And ended up trading back again. And you could see it, right? Like, as soon as a running back came off, it was like, well, I guess we don't need this pick anymore. Let's move back and try and add some extra capital, right? And day three was fine for me. You add a future fourth, which I'm sure Ryan Poles will trade away. And you still end up getting a running back in the seventh round who, by the way, to me, like, I love the pass blocking game, but he still had 1,200 yards last year rushing the football, right? They basically didn't throw the ball at Rutgers. It was pretty much turn around and hand it off to this young man. He was getting the Ashton Jeanty treatment, essentially, of we know you're going to be stacked. We're going to be going up against eight in the box because we're not airing this football out a ton. And he still was able to come away with 13 touchdowns off of that. So I think the running back market to me was incredibly deep. If what you were looking for was a pass block and run guy, I think you got the best of both worlds. But if you don't feel that he's going to be the high caliber piece, does that mean to go out there and take a chance on a guy who, listen, if Nick Chubb is on the roster and he gets through training camp and he does look good, he's going to make the team, of course, right? You're hitching your wagon to yet again another player who, hey, we're going to have to rely on you heavily. And at some point, you may not be healthy enough to do that this season. Like even last year, right? 102 carries, 336 yards. He was a shell of who he once was. And to me, why take the chance on it? I get it. Like you can, and it's not expensive, but you're basically hoping for a Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley situation, which I guess if your offensive line is fixed is not bad, but those don't happen every day.
Yeah, and I mean, those are in a different class of running back. Neither of them, I know Saquon had been injured earlier in his career, but neither of them had dealt with the succession of injuries from one year to the next that Nick Chubb has. And we don't know. Like, I will be the first to admit, I have not watched every snap of Nick Chubb from the 2024 season. The production, you're right, doesn't sound great for 102 carries, shows that he can still handle it. But were those third down situations? Was that goal line situations? You know, clearly it's not the production that you expect with the carries and like matching up with like just the yards per attempt. But however they would view using him, like to me, if it was a short yardage thing and you want like your power back at the goal line, don't you already have that in Roschon Johnson? So, I mean, that's something that if it's true that he might be interested in them, they might be interested in him. First off, cost. That's always going to be number one. But 100%. Then are you canceling out somebody else's role that's already on this team that the team wants to see, like would rather, you know, give Roschon Johnson a third year, another chance to, you know, find an identity in this offense versus somebody else who's several years older, has more injuries, more wear and tear, and not, you know, you could maybe use that, you know, you can maybe go about it a different way or use that money to go get somebody else. Maybe there's more offensive linemen that, you know, you're thinking about like veteran camp bodies. Yeah. Maybe there's somebody later on that you'd want on the roster that you think like would be a better use of those resources than going out and getting a running back right now. Like to me, this wouldn't make sense for right now. Why do you need him right now? Like you're not at training camp. You need to see how you get through rookie mini camp that weekend, how the team comes together during OTAs. I wouldn't be surprised if like they wait on this a little bit, if this ends up being like, you know, again, he likes them, they like him. If that's true, then I don't see what the rush is to get this done right now. Cause I don't know if there's going to be a bunch of people banging down Nick Chubb's door, like, especially at this point of the off season when you don't.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think that would be the big question. You know, it's, do you even feel bad if you miss out on them? You know what I mean? That's kind of where it's at. For me, it's like, if you get to camp and somebody signs them, you know, we didn't get Nick Chubb. All right, let's try and figure it out with what we got. Like, I don't think it's that big of a pivot. The one thing I will say about Roschon, and I think which it makes it tough for him coming into this season, is I think Ryan Poles wants him to be that guy. I remember when he drafted him, right? He was talking about him as a pillar of the future of this Bears offense. And I think there were very high hopes for Roschon. The concussion issues are just too much with the lack of production. And we're talking coming into this season about, you know, coming off of one player who was an extremely good guard, but just had too many injury issues. We got to let him go. We're having a question mark on Jaquan Brisker, who is a phenomenal safety. And because of his concussion issues, we may get to the end of this season and go, it's going to be tough to re-sign a guy that you can't count on being on the field. Roschon doesn't even have the production behind that. And I get it. It may not be you. He may not have had a good look. You may not have gotten an opportunity to see everything that he can do. But like, he's a gap scheme runner. It's going to be incredibly difficult to keep him from getting hit in the head as he's going through the line.
Sure. And I mean, that's why he wore the Guardian helmet last year after the concussion. I don't know if that was his choice or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that continues this year, just because maybe it is an extra level of protection for him. Nonetheless, I think it's about usage. And I think the Bears are intrigued by what Ben Johnson brings to the table. If you listen back to Ryan Poles and you know, everybody else who talked over the weekend about the picks that were made, it was specific to X player is a great fit for Ben's offense. Yeah. X player allows Ben to be creative with what he can do in the scheme. Like, it was all geared towards getting the right fits for Ben Johnson. Now we'll see, especially when it comes to the run game, like, do they have the right fits? Obviously if they sign somebody, it'll tell you that they thought that they needed more, but I know that like they really trust Ben Johnson to, you know, to tell them, What do you need? What type of players do you need? We're going to go out and do our best to get those players. His fingerprints are all over this roster coming off of the draft, as they should be. He's the head coach. He's getting paid a lot of money to be here. They clearly went with him because they believe that his offense and his vision for this offense is what's going to win this team a lot of games. So if the running back room is not complete, I think you've got to do whatever you can within your power to make it as close to that as you can, so Ben Johnson can operate within it. But like, maybe there's like something like a Roschon Johnson laying dormant to a degree, that all it's going to take is a Ben Johnson revitalization to get this guy on track, where he's not, you know, he's on the field for first and second down, and then he's inexplicably off the field on third down. And it's like, what the heck is going on here? Then okay, now he's your short yardage back, but now he's your goal line guy. Like, all of those things, like, it just, I don't think it ever mirrored up to like what, you know, what they thought he was going to be last year, what he probably thought he was going to be. So maybe all it takes is just a restart in an offense that's going to give him a role that he can learn and feel comfortable with and know, like, okay, this is who I am as a running back. Now I actually fit in this offense. Now I can see what their vision is for me and I can perform within that. Like, I think a lot of it has to do with just like, hey, what opportunity are you going to give me to show like what I can do on this field? Because I don't feel like I had that opportunity last year.
Yeah, no, 100%. It'll be interesting to see how Roschon's used this year, how all of these backs are used. And even if they were to bring in Nick Chubb, you know, how they would utilize him. He literally just dropped another workout video. It popped up on my feed.
Are you serious?
A real one. He's doing, I believe this is, if I'm not mistaken, because the bar is 45 and each of these are 45 plates. He's deadlifting 405, I want to say here.
Oh my God, that sounds
Yeah, painful. He looks strong.
He's good. He's good to go. No injuries.
Strong. I'm not gonna lie. He looks strong, but weights and being an NFL running back are very different. But the knee looks strong. Well, let us know how you guys feel in the comments below. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Would you like to see Nick Chubb on the Chicago Bears? Do you think that there is a better option on the team and or out there? I mean, J.K. Dobbins out there as well. He'd be.
That's a name. Like, that's, you know, that the is names a name. Are out there. Not like there's nothing that's going to blow you off the page, but there are names in terms of veteran options that could be in a good number two. Because, I mean, they still are paying DeAndre Swift a ton of money. So. Yeah. Like, I think that's like probably my biggest takeaway is that DeAndre Swift is still like, remember we thought, okay, if they go get Ashton Jeanty is the guy. DeAndre Swift's now the complimentary.
Yeah.
DeAndre Swift is still the guy in this offense, in this running back room until we find like proven otherwise, because you are like, you know, the value there and what they believe they can get out of him. If his feet quiet down a little bit, he stops dancing as much as when he's out there, he's not trying to look for the home run every single time, he's put in a situation where sometimes it just get the efficient dirty yards, then he's still your number one guy. And whoever else is that number two is the complementary piece to that. So,
yeah, I like that you brought that up, because I do want to talk about kind of what the Bears draft strategy could have signaled on this team. We do also want to let you guys know the Chicago Bears podcast brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura and drive off in under 60 minutes or they'll make your first car payment. Also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, Las Vegas style gaming. Just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6 right off I-80-94. When you look at the draft strategy, Courtney, and I think you bring up a good point about some of the people that are still in place that maybe we didn't expect to be in place, right? And there's a lot of questions with the left tackle spot right now. There's a lot of questions, I think, with the running back spot right now. Did the Bears draft strategy signal confidence in the current roster, though? Because it doesn't seem like you went out there and tried to add these pieces that were going to change lives and take jobs. It seems like you added a lot of complimentary pieces to what you already have.
There are some luxury picks. And I think Bears fans who are pointing out that about Colston Loveland and Luther Burden are not wrong. Like, these are high-end players with your top draft pick and then your top second-round pick. So it makes sense. But was it a necessity for the roster to be able to be complete for this year? No, I don't think so. I think it signals that, you know, the way that they got those two picks handled, like, they already had players that they are really happy with at those positions, Cole Kmet and obviously DJ Moore and Roma Dunze. Now, some will say, and they're probably right about this, that drafting Colston Loveland could signal, you know, an eventual phasing out of Cole Kmet in this offense. I wouldn't be surprised about that. Like, eventually, not saying now, but eventually, right? Because that's what, like, go look back at 2021 when the Philadelphia Eagles did that with Zach Ertz, when they drafted Dallas Goedert. Like, that's how teams do business. But it doesn't mean that a player that's currently here can't have a role. I just think that they're getting ahead of it by where they were on the draft board and realizing this is a high-end player who can do more of what Ben Johnson wants in this offense. But is it necessary for this year? Not, like, were there other needs that were bigger is probably what I should, how I should phrase that. Yes, there were, but they feel that they, because they couldn't get one of the top tackles at 10 and they didn't want to trade up. They've told you the cost was prohibitive. It would have wiped them out of the second round if they would have moved up for Ashton Jeanty and then, you know, for Kelvin Banks to go one more ahead of them. I know they really liked him, or one more ahead of where the Bears were. You know, they did what they had to at the time they were on the board. So, and they couldn't get in a very, I think if they could have, they would have tried to aggressively trade back in the first round. There were no takers. So you did what you had to with what you were given in that moment. So, like, there's nobody on this, there's nobody here that I look at right now that's like, oh my God, this guy's taking this guy's spot right now. You got some really good picks in Ozzie Trapillo and then Shamar Turner in the second round. Those are guys who will eventually be starters on this roster. They have to be with how you've drafted them. But beyond that, I think a lot of it was depth. Like, there were, in terms of draft strategy and staying true to the board and what the Bears wanted to come away from with this, I don't think this was the draft to look at ahead of time and say, we're coming away with two starters here. We're like immediate guys that are plug and play. You put them in right away. This was a draft class that was built on depth. That was the perception of it going in. You and I had talked about that for several months. That
meat and potatoes, you know, draft.
Yeah, that's your term. Like, and that's not a bad thing, I think, for the Bears if they followed it to a T, their draft board to a T. Obviously, there's some picks people are going to agree with, some they're not going to agree with. But I think it's okay to look at this roster and the draft picks and where they slot in and say, and like, not see any major shift of jobs. This guy's taking this guy's job. This rookie's going to be the starter over this vet. I think a lot of it is good for the development, because let's take Shamar Turner, for example. So they've got a high draft pick that they used in Jervon Dexter, second round pick. It's year three for him. Great opportunity for him to get one of those starting spots. Maybe it's him and Grady Jarrett next to each other on the interior of that defensive line. That doesn't mean Shamar Turner is going to be on the bench as a rookie.
Right.
They want a rotation. And I think that that's going to mean he's going to be playing a significant number of snaps to ease himself into a scheme that's going to require different things, going from a two-gapping defense at Texas A&M to a penetrating style defense now. That just means that you won't necessarily have to be the starter in that role the way that, you know, they obviously kept Justin Jones around that 1 year because they didn't feel Jervon Dexter capable of handling that early on. And I think it's okay for the development of a player like that, a second round pick who eventually can be the next one to replace. Like when Grady Jarrett retires, great. Then you have Shamar Turner there. Like, I think that that's how they view it. Same thing with Ozzie Trapillo. And it creates an interesting, position competition for training camp. Cause Waddle and Sylvie and I were talking about this yesterday, like big picture. Is it, I don't want to use the word failure, but does it mean things haven't worked out? If Ozzie Trapillo, I believe was 50, there's a 56 overall pick, your second round pick. If he isn't a starter this year, like if he doesn't supplant somebody and win a job. The reason I think that that one would probably be more of like you'd fall in the category of, yeah, that's a disappointment, is because you drafted a right tackle. You drafted a right tackle. He's played, but started 24 games at right tackle the last 2 years. Can he play some left? Sure. But like, I don't think you make that pick unless you are fully confident that Darnell Wright is going to be able to move over to the left side of the offensive line, which they have thrown out there as a possibility. They say, we don't know how these combinations are going to look. We're going with the best five. But we've already been told Joe Tooney's playing left guard. So, I mean, they can say all they want about we're going with the best five. They know the entire interior of the offensive line. Now it's figuring out, is Trapillo good enough to be a day one starter at right tackle? Like, because if he is, then that is a massive win. If he's not right now and he's your swing tackle at worst, I don't think that's bad at all. But eventually, that's somebody that wins that, like, you know, you don't spend a pick that high for that guy not to be a starter at some point. But I think it all just depends, like, draft strategy wise, what they did and where they are right now. Like, there's no massive, this doesn't happen. It's the roster falls apart in need of somebody to be a starter at a certain position. You just hope that some guys get to that sooner than others, which I know is cliche, but that's frankly what it is. And I think they're comfortable with that, knowing that they had a roster that wasn't bare bones. That's a good thing.
Yeah. And I think the Ozzie conversation, right, bringing in Ozzie Trapillo, like, I think that is the, is Darnell Wright on the left side, or if Ozzie ends up switching over to the left side? He did play left tackle for most of his freshman year or sophomore year. But that was his worst year in college playing the offensive line. Gave up 5 sacks that season. But does either of them on the left side, is that the is their floor the ceiling of where Braxton Jones is? Which I think you can make an argument for that. Listen, I think Darnell Wright has the ability to switch the left side. I know that we don't want to switch guys around, and you want to leave Darnell Wright on the right side where he's comfortable. But, you know, would you rather have the rookie slot in there and trying to figure it out, or would you rather have Darnell, who's already been in the league, who's already understands how NFL defenses are going to attack you, just having to flip his brain and hopefully he can still make, you know, some strides there? Like, I think it would be easier to put Trapillo on the on the right side, but I think it does go back to the conversation that we've had many times, right? How much do they really trust Braxton Jones to be out there? How much do they really believe Braxton Jones is a part of the future of this team? Because no matter how you slice it, this is 2 years in a row where essentially it looks like you're trying to replace Braxton Jones because you realize he's not good enough.
Yeah,
you can say we love him. You can say we're excited. We can't wait to see him get back on the field. You drafted a left tackle in the third round last year. You drafted another tackle in the second round this year, which effectively would mean he's probably going to be in the starting rotation at some point. Somebody's going to be moving to that left side. You're not benching Darnell Wright.
Yeah, Darnell Wright. Yeah, no, absolutely not. You're right. And they're saying all the right things about Braxton right now. That they, you know, believe he's going to be fully healthy, that of course they want to give him every opportunity to compete, that he's the best left tackle that they have on the roster right now. And if he was good to go, it's his job. But the writing's on the wall here that they are trying to upgrade that spot. Now, what Ryan Poles talked about on Friday was the depth element. Remember, like, that kind of bit the Bears last year when he said right after cutdown day, this is the deepest offensive line group I've ever had. And we saw what happened when, you know, one domino falls and then the rest of the offensive line's in flux. They don't want to be in that spot again. So you can't fault them for the strategy of let's go take another offensive lineman high up. And that's why I felt like going into the draft that, you know, if they could go trenches, if the player that they wanted on the O-line was there at 10, that would have been their pick. The board didn't fall that way, and that's okay. But, like, they still addressed it with if you take a second round, if got a guy in the second round, like,
you expect him to play.
Yes, you expect him to play.
Be a player.
A third rounder like Karan, I think at worst, if he's your swing tackle, you're okay taking taking a guy in the third round. And if I'm not trying to diminish anybody's like achievements, but if the best he can do, his ceiling is being a swing tackle, you're okay with that, because that's where you find those players. That's what it is. But the depth element that Ryan Poles talked about, he admitted the other day, he's just like, we've dealt with that year after year here, and we don't have that. So you'd rather have more talent than try to figure it out. You have a couple months now to try to figure it out than be scrambling and thinking, okay, well, this is our one option for this position. If it doesn't work out, then we're screwed. Like, they can't afford that. They cannot afford to do that with Caleb Williams in year two, because that's going to stall the progress of the offense if they don't have those options. So I think from a draft strategy standpoint, to be heavier on the offensive line in terms of numbers is a place where they're okay with that, because there's not the need. Like, you don't need to start trimming now. You don't need to start having the answers now, but there will become a point in training camp that if you move Darnell Wright, OTAs, these guys are in shorts. So usually it's like everybody overreacting to a couple errant throws from the quarterback who gets picked off and he's a rookie, and everybody's freaking out that Caleb is going to have a hard rookie season. Did that foreshadow what his rookie season was going to be? Maybe, maybe not. But like, we usually come away with like dumber takes after seeing these guys in shorts, and that they don't actually inform anything. It's just that this is what they're installing your base offense at that point of the year. However, how we see these guys align in along the offensive line, we saw this 2 years ago during OTAs and then mandatory minicamp. How we see the combination start will give you an idea of what the bigger position battles along that line are going to be in training camp. So don't be surprised if you see Darnell Wright at left tackle for OTAs, because Braxton Jones is not going to be out there. He's not ready. He won't be ready for a while. No. Caron will probably be the number two there. I don't know where Ozzie Trapillo, do you start him right away at left tackle? Is that where he's getting his reps? Like, well, if there's nobody to challenge him on that side, I don't think you can fault them for doing that, but it will be very intriguing to see how the alignments of the O-line play into how they leave mandatory minicamp feeling about the O-line, and then where guys start in July, August. But at some point, you've got to be like, all right, this is what we like. We've tested it out enough. Keep the guys there. So the Bears don't want to be moving players around. They know that that's a detriment to people's growth, especially for a rookie. And especially if you're making Darnell Wright play a position he hasn't played since sophomore year? No, it was 2022, I believe, when he started all those games at left tackle and then moved back. Left tackle was 2021. 2022 was when he went back to the right side of the offensive line, drafted 2023. So it's been a minute for him. If you're going to move him there, you might want to give him some time to like readjust.
Yeah, at least let him know. And again, I think that all of this is a signal to me that, we can say all we want about how much they love Braxton. They're trying to move on from Braxton, or they're trying to improve from where Braxton is. And I think
upgrade the position. They were going to do that in the draft if they could. They were going to do it with their own roster if they could.
Yeah. And I think you got to take into account Ben Johnson's comments, right? He said, and we're sitting here looking at all the pieces they're putting on the offensive line, and we're like, wow, we're going to be running the football a ton. Ben Johnson loves these guys that can dominate in the run game, which he probably does. But Ben Johnson said verbatim, my focus on the offensive line, I need them to be able to pass block. You have to be good in pass pro, and if you're not, we need to upgrade there. That's the one place where Braxton Jones struggles the most. I mean, I watched Jared Verse last season, who literally was like, I'm just faster than everyone and I can get around guys. Look at Braxton Jones and say, I'm going to go through your chest the entire game, and eventually you'll either fall over or just won't be able to stop me, and both end up playing out. I think the other thing on the offensive line that we got to focus in on before we get out of here, Joe Tooney. Ryan Poles said it's a priority. When do we think that contract is probably going to get done?
We did say we would talk about this after the draft, right, to see what they did and how that might affect things. Does it need to be right now? No, not necessarily. But I think that just coming away from the draft, that that's going to be a priority for them. Because they didn't draft somebody that projects as, maybe this guy could start at left guard after a year or two. And Joe Tooney at 32 years old, maybe we'll see how he, The guy was a two-time All-Pro player. Like, it's not like, oh, like we're expecting regression. He wouldn't have traded for him if that was the case. So I feel like it's a he has a much clearer path towards getting it done sooner rather than later, based on how the draft did not go at that position, or at least anybody that they got projecting as one, you know, somebody who could kick inside eventually, and take over that spot. I know that Matt Miller was on, I think it was Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, and he talked. Somebody pointed this out to me. Because obviously I think that that was one that he, it was a pick that he loved, somebody that was really high up on his board for day two. I don't know if somebody said this on the show or if this was just like floated on social media, that he thinks that Matt Miller thinks that Ozzie Trapillo projects better at right guard. And maybe that obviously that would have to do with the arms, you know, his arm length, 33 inch arms. He's talked about it. Like, he's a massive individual, shorter arms on the shorter side. So, I don't know, because like then it's like, all right, well then does that mean that Jonah Jack, like if you're just, if you're doing too much moving
now
around,
you're moving too many people around.
So I think that the simple answer here is you came away from the draft, you feel probably more confident right now that you want to get the Tooney extension done in the near future. Now they said it was a priority. If Ryan Poles did not feel that way, I don't feel like he would have said it to that degree, because we've heard him talk about other contracts before and, you know, paraphrasing for guys, but there's been more of a we'll see sort of approach instead of committing to saying something's a priority. Because then if you say it and then you don't follow through, it kind of looks like, okay, well, was the ball dropped?
Something happened. Mm-hmm. And listen, I think you brought it out, right? He's one of the few that he has said that about. I mean, he talked about Kyler Gordon and as a priority to get that done. You know, he talked about, I think, Cole Kmet when that one got done as a priority, you know, like, there hasn't been many, and usually the ones that he says are a priority are here. Usually the ones where he goes, yeah, we'll see down the road. We'll keep communication open. You go, oh, okay, that guy's not going to be here by the end of this season. We'll see how this goes. We'll see when that Tooney contract gets done. It's going to be exciting to kind of see now where the Bears end up going with a bunch of different things. Is Nick Chubb going to be in the building? When are contracts going to be signed? And, you know, what are the Bears going to do with this whole left tackle situation that seems like, you know, we love Braxton, but also can anyone replace him? That's what it comes down to. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Courtney Cronin, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.